Go to Matthew 28 this morning, and we appreciate you tuning in and being part of the Bible study. I saw Gary Simpson on Facebook saying he was looking forward to this, and hope he's still enjoying it at the end. So I hope that's the case. And we appreciate all the effort of the people here, because it is just nasty weather here today. Nothing fun about it. But the good news is George can't do any lawns today. He's got to spend a little time with the Lord. I'm praying up every Sunday a good rainfall. All right, go to Matthew 28. And I want to talk to you about the Great Commission. I think this is probably a terribly misunderstood doctrine. I would say the majority of the churches today are teaching that you're involved in the Great Commission. How many have been in a church that says, "Go ye into all the world"? Amen. And I mean, it's a big deal. It's not just a little deal. It's a big deal. And but they don't really teach the passage correctly. And I'm not real smart, so I'll probably fail at this. But the realization is the truth of this is clear. And what we have in the majority of people, it's kind of like lemmings. You know what lemmings are, don't you? Yeah, they just follow each other. One go off a cliff, it wouldn't matter. 200 would go off the cliff. And that's kind of how we are. We just do what we do because we've always done it, and it doesn't seem to make any difference. Before I read in Matthew 28, though, I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you don't mind. This verse just popped in my head, and I want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit inside of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to start in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3, just let's start in verse 9. "For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me," didn't say the 12, he said unto me, which is who?
Paul.
"As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon these foundations, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man works thereby, which he hath builded thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And I can tell you that people ask me all the time, what is going to be judged? And I can tell you the majority of people think of the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm just going to put the rapture here at the judgment seat of Christ, that sin that you've done since you've been saved is going to be judged. And that is not the truth. But you are going to be judged, you understand. God's going to judge you for the work of what sort it is. Not sin. Jesus Christ took that sin on Calvary's cross, and you're going to be judged upon the work. Well, go to Romans. We're going to get back to Matthew in just a minute, I promise. Go to Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, I want to start in verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what the challenge is here today, is the renewing of your mind. For what reason? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, so in teaching the Scriptures, we have to teach it so that you would know what the will of God is, right? I mean, the idea is, okay, you're now saved, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're sealed unto the day of redemption, you got all that, now what? Now what do you do? I mean, it's all, boom, you're done, you're sealed, you're there, you're going to have eternal life, everything's okay. Well, we should search the Scriptures daily, but the whole reason to do it is to find out what the will of God is. Right. Well, you say, well, I have heard this so many times, I'm blew my mind. I believe in doing the whole Bible. Really? Go to Matthew chapter 20. I'm under the Great Commission. How many here has at one time thought they were under the Great Commission? I mean, you literally thought it. One? Oh, come on. I bet there's a few more that thought they were under the Great Commission at one time. You on the internet, I bet you felt that at times. But listen to what it says in Matthew 28. Remember that we're to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the goal. Every time you study, what are you trying to do? Prove what is that good and acceptable. You know what? It's almost like in Christianity where, you know, whatever you do is fine. Whatever you believe is okay. I mean, we almost take that attitude, don't we? Just whatever, just, you know, be the best you can. Have the best life you've ever had. And all that junk. And that ain't the case at all. In Matthew 28, in verse 19, the Bible says this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." They're going to do what? They're going into the world and teaching the what? The nations. Now, it did not say for the nations to go in and teach all the nations. That isn't a commission to a Gentile church. It's the church at Jerusalem that is supposed to do what? Go in and teach the nations. Y'all understand? The Great Commission is not the Gentile church going to other nations. It says, go ye. Well, who is that? Well, look in verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus appointed them. And when they saw him, they," who's the they? The 11 disciples of verse 16. And it ultimately ends up being 12. But in the passage, it's the 11 disciples. Y'all understand? "Go ye." Who's the ye? The disciples. Y'all with me? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." Now, what he commanded them in his teaching was the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what he taught them from the beginning of his ministry all the way to the cross. That's what he taught them. So the doctrine that he's telling them to do, he said, go and teach these things. Look what he says. "Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Right? Well, it is fascinating to me as a Bible student, the things I read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, it's just fascinating reading. Go in Matthew chapter 10 for a moment. Let me show you what I'm talking about. verse 1. Now, this is what we're supposed to command and teach. According to the Great Commission. Amen? Whatever Jesus taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the name of the 12 apostles are these. I'm going to name them. Come on down. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, go not in the way of the what? And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why is He sending Jerusalem out into the world? To preach to the Gentile nations? No, to find the Jews scattered abroad. All in the world. And to do that, they have to go into the Gentile nations. You all understand? They're not going out there trying to save the Gentiles. Bless God, there is salvation for the Gentiles. We know that in Matthew 25, right? And it's clear of the covenant. Now watch. This is very difficult if you believe your Bible. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of what? Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, He didn't say the gospel of Christ is at hand. He said the kingdom of the of heaven is at hand. You know what kingdom of heaven is?
Christ's second coming to build.
That's right. It's His earthly kingdom. Who was that promised to?
Israel.
Yeah, the fathers, wasn't it? It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then He said, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Why would He use signs? Go, hold on to here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First, boy, a mumble goes over the crowd.
The Jews require signs, Gentiles seek after, I mean, Greeks seek after wisdom.
Now, Wayne's trying to get into it now. Be patient.
We know we're in trouble when Wayne does that.
Thank you, Tamara. Tamara is watching via the internet. She said, be blessed and I will see you on movie night. Well, we'll look forward to that. Hope your brother is there and enjoying that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So I let you calm down so now I can act like we can do it civilized. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign. Why would He be healing the sick, cleansing the leper, and raising the dead?
The Jews require a sign.
They're not doing it. You know, the church today is going, well, can God heal? Well, I guess God can do anything He wants. Amen. He's God. But He can't go against His Word. Why? Why would a Gentile need a sign?
He wouldn't.
What does the Gentile need? The Greek seek after wisdom. We study to show ourselves approved. But He says, go and teach them. Now watch, go back to Matthew 10. I don't hear this being taught in churches anywhere that the Great Commission is mentioned. But didn't He say to observe and do all that I've commanded you? For I'm lo, I'm with you unto the ends of the earth. Well, He did. And so what's happening in churches today is they're trying to take the Great Commission and apply it to them as they're somehow spiritual Jews and whatever. But He said, verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the leopard, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you received, freely give. And right outside there, you know what you need? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 in your Bible. Isn't that nice? You got that note now? Now, He said in verse 9, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse. So, you know, preachers have really caught on to this. So they don't carry gold or silver or brass, they just carry plastic. Okay, I thought that was going to be funnier than it was, but obviously it wasn't real funny. Well, now come on, think about what it's saying. Don't carry any money. The Lord will take care of you. Where's your faith? Come on, I mean, you know, teach and observe. Hey, the Lord's going to take care of you. You say, well, how do I know that? Look in Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 24. Look what he said. He said, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses or barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowl? Should they provide gold and silver and brass in their purse?
No.
No, what are they supposed to do?
Trust.
Consider the ravens. If God feedeth the raven, won't he much more pleasurably feed his own children?
That's what the Gentile nation is for.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he doesn't need us to do that. He chooses to use that, but he doesn't need us. I mean, you know what he did with Elijah? Fed him with a raven. A bird came and dropped meat by him. Hey, God can handle the situation. You know what we've got? We got men getting up there and going, oh, we need money. And by the way, we do. Just thought I'd let you know. But I'm not going to cry about it. I'm going to be happy and rejoice. I don't care whether we pay the bills or not. I think the banks are going to end up with everything anyway. So what does it matter? No, I'm just joking. No, I'm not. I am not joking. Where was I? Providing money. Now, look. He tells them to consider the ravens. They need a son to reap. They don't need money. So I want everybody to, come on, start living like the Jews. I want you to give up your job this week. I don't want a single one of you go to your job. Amen? And if you do go to work, I want you to say, I don't want any money for this. God's going to provide for me. Oh, got a buzz on that one. That's right. Come on. Where's your faith? Look what he said. And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then not be able to do the thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies. Now they grow, they toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then if then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat. Anybody thinking about lunch already? I ain't going with you then. I want someone to thought this thing out a little bit. He says, seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither by ye neither be ye of what? Hey, listen, if God's going to provide for a raven and take care of the grass, isn't he going to take care of you?
Amen.
And you know, these churches that promote that then go around passing the plate time and time again, begging for money. They have special more money, got to have more money, you know. And as Jerry Maguire said, show me the money. Well, actually, Jerry didn't say that. The guy who was playing the running back. Show me the money.
Gibbons Jr.
Yeah, Gibbons Jr. Hey, show me the money. That's all they're asking for all the time. Amen? How many years been to a church lately and they passed the plate? Huh?
Mine did.
Your did? Now watch this. They probably taught the Great Commission too, didn't they?
Well, no, I didn't hear about that. Anymore.
They're probably there, trust me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just telling you, probably, I would go to say that we're the only church in Montgomery in this city that teaches not the Great Commission?
The ones that support the missionaries, they're the ones that were big on that.
Oh, they are big on that.
Right. And once a year they had a big, you took up a regular offering, and then you took up a secondary offering for missions.
That's right. I mean, they do it all the time. So, but think about what we're saying. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're to observe and do whatever He's commanded us, right? Well, go to Matthew chapter 6. People ask me all the time, why don't I pass a plate? We'd get more money. I doubt it. You know what I've learned? You can't squeeze money out of anybody that don't want to give it. Just keep your stingy money. It probably isn't any good anyway. And be stingy. Stingy, stingy.
Send it to your local bank.
Yeah. Keep it invested in your bank. Watch this. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Anybody ever seen anybody put money in the plate as it passed?
Yeah.
How many here kind of felt a little guilty and they rolled their money up so you couldn't tell whether it was a $5 bill or a $20 bill? Be truthful.
Guilty.
Yeah, guilty. I mean, you're going, boy, that guy just put in $100 and all I got is, I'm going to roll it up. And it helps if you'd smoked marijuana because then I guess you've got that rolling thing down. You know, and you throw it in the plate. And you just, you know, your prayer isn't that the Lord will use the money. It's, Lord, don't let that thing unroll until it gets down the other line.
Put an empty envelope in.
Have you ever put an empty envelope in?
Wayne,
that is bad. I wondered who did that back there.
No, I didn't do it here. I did it at the other church. No, they had the little envelopes up there. Just stick an envelope in. They don't know.
They will when they open it.
You don't seal it up. It's just an empty envelope. Nobody knows whether it's sealed or not. You don't write your name and all that on it. Put an empty envelope in there and then, you know.
He is truly a grace believer, isn't he? I mean, now look. He said, now listen to what they teach. I mean, this is not a joke to me. Those people are saying, we're under the Great Commission. We're doing what God wants us. We're going to follow Jesus. Jesus said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. How many rewards are you going to get? Say zippy, zippy. So everybody that ever put money into a plate that is saved did what?
Rob themselves of blessing.
Absolutely. I mean, if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is written to us, you just wiped out your blessing pool. Now, why didn't they teach you that? It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he says, teach them to observe whatever I've taught you. But I don't hear this being taught. Say, well, I believe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You don't either believe in Matthew, Mark. Well, I don't believe in following the Apostle Paul. Then you're an idiot because you know what? If all you got is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're in trouble. Is that a little hard?
The truth is always hard.
Now, you know, I mean, it goes on in the passage. Verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before men. Have you ever seen on the end of pews where they put people's names that have donated so much more money? They're called memorials and memoriams, you know? And they've got plaque given in the... how many? Does anybody here get their name on a plaque?
No. Crystal.
I knew you wouldn't have...
Crystal Cathedral is built strictly with donated money, and all the little glass panes has got people's name on it, and I hate to say part of my money's there.
Okay, hang on. You are the most confusing person. In some churches, you're giving blank envelope, and then you're sending to the Crystal Cathedral.
See, my wife, she did it. My wife did it, not I.
Boy, now this sounds like Adam and Eve thing. How long y'all been married?
40 years?
Well, it's about to end today.
Hey, she's actually got a little crystal eagle that we got from Crystal mm-hmm. Cathedral.
Man, how much did you give?
I refuse to answer because that's grounds of, I won't do self-incrimination. I stand on the Fifth Amendment.
It must have been $500.
I refuse to answer that question.
Or 1,000.
I refuse to answer that question on the grounds of my...
How much did
it get, an eagle? To get an eagle? That had to be something. Anybody else here got an eagle from the Crystal Cathedral?
What does the eagle represent?
Oh, but I ran me out of the parking lot.
Now watch this, verse 2.
Hey,
let's get focused back on the Bible study. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But when thou doest thine alms, let not the left hand know what the right hand doeth. That thy alms may be in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. That's the idea. Men, they say, you know what we're going to do is pray. And they get up and they go, Dear Heavenly Father, our great God. And they just get on with their prayer. And you know all that stuff. You know, I do believe in praying. You all understand that? And in the most case, we pray and we pray for the sick and the people and do that. But I'd rather not have to do it in front of people. In fact, for years, I quit praying in front of the church. It's just, sometimes you're just trying to impress people. Hey, guys, sometimes you're just trying to impress people. Well, I'm not into you impressing me or I impressing you. But then he said in verse 5, if you really want to do this right, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Well, what do the hypocrites like to do? For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets that they may be seen of men. How many here has gone to a restaurant and see a family praying? Amen. What do you think of that? They're wanting you to acknowledge that they are Christians. You all understand? People always, when I'm around them, Pastor, will you pray for us? Sure. Hang on. I'm done. No, I mean, will you pray with us? Happens at funerals. Happens at pastor, pray with us. You know, they expect that out of a pastor. And in some case, I oblige them by doing that. But that's not where the prayers are actually done. I know it's a little odd. That's not how God intended you to pray. He said, if you pray, he said, enter in the closet. Verse 6, watch. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. I don't know anybody who's got a big enough closet except my sister Catherine to do that. Poor Brenda, she'd be standing up, and now with all the clothes that Catherine gave her, it'd be really tight. Enter thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, everybody, use not vain repetition as the what? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We all know that. How do we know that? Vain repetition. So everything that they told us in the Great Commission, not a single church is teaching. And then we teach our children. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I shall die before I wake,
I pray the Lord my soul to take.
We all know that. Now, isn't that weird that we're not, we're under these Great Commissions and we're being taught this. And yet every one of us have been taught what?
Vain repetition.
So how come we're taking the Word of God and saying, okay, Jesus Christ said not to use vain repetition, yet everybody has learned these prayers, and I wasn't raised up where Wayne was raised up. He knew that prayer. They're martyrs. They're just chantings. They're not prayers. You want to see a prayer? Go read the story about Hannah. The priest comes and says, "What's wrong with you? You're drunk." She said, "No, I'm sore. I'm praying unto the Lord." The priest couldn't figure out what she was doing. If you ever really saw a true prayer, you wouldn't probably want, you'd be embarrassed to true prayer. We don't know how to pray as we ought. That's what Paul said. Boy, but we want to show off when we pray. Brother Tony, why don't you pray? Tony gets up and says, "Dear Heavenly Father." Say, "Carlton, why don't you pray for us?" "Great God, bless you." People go out and say, "Carlton, that was the best prayer I ever heard." You've seen it done in other churches. Don't lie to me. And they were just faking it out. Yet, "Oh, I want to do the Great Commission." You don't either want to do the Great Commission, because Jesus said you wouldn't do that if you were in the Great Commission. You should teach and observe that which I've taught you to observe and do. And there isn't a single church that is teaching the Great Commission, that is teaching the proper use of prayer. How many here has been to a funeral and they used the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Prayer. Now they got a prayer across. Did y'all see that? You can look up in the light and read it. It's close to you. Put the prayer cross close to your heart.
Used to, at our church, they prayed, took up the offering, and while they were taking up the offering, the choir would sing softly.
Yeah, oh, yeah, makes the giving better. We ought to try that. Oh, I think $400 a week ought to pay the bills over the last 3 months, don't you? Listen to verse 7 again. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do." Do you really want to be in the classification of heathens? "For they think that they may be heard for their much speaking." Here's a hint in prayer. Listen to me very carefully. God knows what you're going to pray before you even put your knee down. Let's fold our hands. Let's look religious. Why don't we pray over the meal? I'm like, people are idiots. You know that? They say, "Preacher, will you pray over Thanksgiving meal?" "Yes, I will. Lord, keep us from eating all this junk and these calories that we're going to kill us, Father. Lord, just make us resist that carrot cake and that cream cake and that glass of wine and that bourbon and that glass. Lord, just keep us from those things." They go, "You're a real party pooper." We eat that junk and we become diabetics and alcoholics, acting somehow that we're so sanctimonious and self-righteous and religious. We miss the whole point of the Word of God. Great Commission. Isn't it fascinating? He says, don't be like the heathens. They think they're going to be heard because they keep repeating the prayer. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? You know, one of the hardest things I think to do that Jesus taught is in Matthew 7. And he said in verse 1, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Boy, isn't that powerful. You know what most Christians are? Here's what most Christians really are. Judgmental hypocrites. They got a, you know what, most Christians, I can tell you this for a fact, think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. They really looked in the mirror while they're shaving their face, and that included some of the girls. That was humor. While you're sitting there and you're looking dead into your eyes, you know what you're really made of. Amen? He said, behold, thou mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own. Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, there's a beam in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite. Why are you so worried about someone else's deal? Isn't that weird? Look in verse 21. I love this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name thou shalt cast out devils, and thy name shall have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I want you to leave. I didn't know you. I don't hear that being taught. There's a lot of people out there faking Christianity. There's a lot of people out there saying, oh, I'm a Joe Christian. But listen, let me tell you what the reality is. If you're teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the Great Commission, and you still got money in the bank, and you're still putting money in the plate, and you're still putting prayers out like you're, then you know what? The chances are you're just faking it. And you know what? People don't want to be confronted with the truth. Most people want to be confronted with whatever strokes their ego or their back. Oh, you've been such a great Christian. Well, there ain't anything such as a great Christian. A Christian admits that there's nothing good about them. A Christian finally, you know, when you say I'm a Christian, you're saying I'm the lowest common denominator of scum. I cannot save myself. It is impossible for me to be good enough to, in order to become a Christian. I have to depend upon the Lord and what He did for me. Otherwise, there would be no hope for me. That's what a Christian is. But people, when they say, I'm a Christian, kind of go like this. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Let me try that again. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. What church do you go? Oh, I go to that First Baptist Church. I'm a member there. Boy, you know what's really exciting is when you're the founding member, they go, well, I'm one of the founding members. Really? I thought Paul started the church, the body of Christ. Yes, but I'm a founding member down at the First Baptist Church. My name is on the founding foster. How many here has heard people brag about their founding membership? Here, let me give you a hint. I'm just a member of a body of Christ. Members in particular. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next hour, is about the church, the body of Christ, and how it differs so vastly different from that things of the Great Commission, and how complete. So you want to stick around for the next hour and take notes and start putting this stuff in, because this stuff matters. Say, well, I'm doing the Great Commission. I doubt you're doing anything close to it. All right, so you all take a break.